out on the water or deep in the woods, this is Willie Outdoors, brought to you by Mossy Oak Properties Heart Realty and Barren River Deer Processing. Now, here's your host, Ralph Gentry.
Hello again, friends. This is Ralph Gentry. Today, I've got a treat for you. I have one of our sponsors, as well as one of my good friends, Richard Hines. Just give you a little bit of a rundown on Richard. He's a man that wears many hats. He's worked for the U.S. Fish and Game. He's worked as a biologist with the Kentucky Fish and Game. He has written for over 30 different outdoor magazines. On top of that, he's also an author that has written some books. So without any further ado, I'm going to introduce you again to Richard Hines. Thanks, Richard, and glad to have you here today.
Yeah, thanks, Ralph. It's good to be here. You know, I wrapped up a 39-year career in wildlife. Way back, I started writing, had to write technical reports, you know, and then a particular magazine or a newspaper say, hey, you're doing something with wildlife or fish here. Could you write us an article? So I started doing that. Well, it just progressed into that, and I kept writing. And one of the magazines that picked me up, and I've been writing for them for about 11 or 12 years, is Gamekeepers. And Gamekeepers is published by Mossy Oak Properties. So Paul Thomas found out about me. He said, you're right here. You need to be working in real estate with us. So my specialty, working for Mossy Oak Properties, Heart Realty, is primarily timberland, recreational land. And that's what Mossy Oak's all about. One other thing that I throw in there, if I show a piece of property, I always inject what you can do to improve it. That's the biologist in me. I'll write a description. I look at the timberland potential value, the open land, what you can do to improve the habitat for whichever species you might be interested in. In my 39-year career, I worked with deer, turkey, waterfowl, even a lot of songbirds. We manage forest land for improving songbird numbers. So I've got a wide range of experience, but a lot of it's really heavy with deer and turkey. And when I was with Kentucky Fish and Wildlife, I stalked a lot of the counties in this area when I was the district wildlife biologist here. If I remember correctly, I stalked 23 counties when I was working for the wildlife agency.
Wow.
Including Adair, Metcalf, Cumberland, a lot of them right here.
You're an avid fly fisherman too,
yeah,
aren't you?
I do fly fish a little bit. Hadn't been much of a year this year. I had a lot of muddy water and high water in the creeks, but when things settle down a little bit, I'll slip off and fly fish. And I fly fish for not just panfish and trout, but also smallmouth bass.
Oh, wow. I know that would be a fight with a fly rod.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Speaking of fly fishing, Richard, where do you think some good places in Barron County or the surrounding immediate area would be to go fly fish without getting hung up in trees?
Well, now, a lot of the creeks I fish do have overhanging limbs and trees, so you have to learn to do some sidearm casting, and it's not quite picturesque fly fishing that you see on the movies because we do have a lot of low-hanging limbs. But here close by, like Trammell Creek, it has brown trout and rainbow trout.
Wow.
Up in Hart County, you got Roundstone Creek, which has both species. You've got Beaver Creek right here that'll have smallmouth bass, spotted bass, and largemouth in it. Not to mention, you know, panfish. Over in Metcalf County, the Little Barren River, both the South Fork and the East Fork of the Little Barren. In fact, the East Fork is my home river right there where I live. That was one of the reasons I came back in this area. I love to fish for smallmouth bass, and the East Fork of the Little Barren is my home water.
There's not a lot of people in this area that grew up fly fishing. You know, we all had the traditional cane poles and Zipco 202s, and as it progresses, you know, a lot of people use bait casters and spinning reels. What would you recommend for some of the area novices that wants to get started in the fly fishing? How should they get started?
Well, first of all, find you a fly fisherman. If you know somebody, they can take you out and show you and teach you some of the techniques. Nice thing about it, you can learn how to cast a fly rod in your yard. Just take the hook off, and when you cast a spinning rod or spinning reel, you're casting the bait. But with fly fishing, you're casting the line.
Line, right.
And the fly is attached to the end of it. So you can cast the line in your yard and get the technique down, work on your accuracy, and then once you tie a fly on out on the water, it's a little bit easier. You can get kits, you know, starter rods at places like Cabela's and some of the bait shops around, and start with a basic rod and go from there and work your way up.
I've dabbled some with fly fishing, and mostly for bream and bluegill and just panfish, and it's a lot of fun. But like I said, you have to watch for the overhead, the limbs. Folks, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed having Richard in talking with us today. He's gave us some good advice, and he is definitely a true outdoorsman with all of his experience. So I want to thank Richard again for joining us today. Don't forget Friday, I should say, that bullfrog season opens. So remember that the limit on bullfrogs is 15. And if you plan on getting out there and doing a little fishing in waters that contain trout, don't forget that trout stamp. You've got to have that too. So as I always say, know before you go. Until next time, this has been Ralph Gentry. Have a great week, and thanks for listening.